Part 1, 1955. Chapter 1. Mama always said Ama was mischievous. It was a joke we shared as a family that my sister, just a few years old and shaky on her pudgy legs, had more energy for life than me and my younger brother Abbas combined. So when I went to check on her and she wasn't in her crib, I felt a fear in my heart that gripped me and would not let go. It was summer, and the whole house breathed slowly from the heat. I stood alone in her room, hoping the quiet would tell me where she'd stumbled off to. A white curtain caught a breeze. The window was open, wide open. I rushed to the ledge, praying that when I looked over, she wouldn't be there. She wouldn't be hurt. I was afraid to look, but I did anyway because not knowing was worse. Please, God, please, God, please, God. There was nothing below but Mama's garden, colorful flowers moving in that same wind. Downstairs, the air was filled with delicious smells and big table laden with yummy foods. Baba and I loved sweets, so Mama was making a whole lot of them for a holiday party tonight. Where's Amal? I stuck a date cookie in each of my pockets when her back was turned. One for me and the other for Abbas. Napping. Mama poured the syrup onto the baklava. No, Mama, she's not in her crib. Then where is she? Mama put the hot pan in the sink and it cooled with the water that turned to steam. Maybe she's hiding. Mama's black robes brushed across me as she rushed to the stairs. I followed closely, keeping quiet, ready to earn the treats in my pocket by finding her first. I need help. Abbas stood at the top of the stairs with his shirt unbuttoned. I gave him a dirty look. I had to make him understand that I was helping Mama for a serious problem. Abbas and I followed Mama into her and Baba's room. Amal wasn't under their big bed. I pulled open the curtain that covered the place where they kept their clothes, expecting to find Amal crouching with a big smile, but she wasn't there. I could tell Mom was getting really scared. Her dark eyes flashed in a way that made me scared too. "Don't worry, Mama," Abbas said. "Ahmad and I will help you find her." Mama put her fingers to her lips to tell Abbas and me not to speak as we crossed the hall to our younger brother's room. They were still sleeping, so she went in on tiptoes and motioned for us to stay outside. She knew how to be quieter than Abbas and me, but Amal wasn't there. Abbas looked at me with scared eyes, and I patted him on the back. Downstairs, Mama called to Amal over and over. She ransacked the living and dining rooms, ruining all the work she had put in for the holiday dinner with Uncle Kamal's family. When Mama ran to the sunroom, Abbas and I followed. The door to the courtyard was open. Mama gasped. From the big window, we spotted Amal running down the meadow towards the field in her nightgown. Mama was in the courtyard in seconds. She cut right through her garden, crushing her roses, the thorns tearing at her robe. Abbas and I were right behind her. "Amal!" Mama screamed. "Stop!" My sides hurt from running, but I kept going. Mama stopped so fast at the sign that Abbas and I ran right into her. Amal was in the field. I couldn't breathe. "Stop," Mama screamed. "Don't move." Amal was chasing a big red butterfly, her black curly hair bouncing. She turned and looked at us. "I get it," she chuckled, pointing at the butterfly. "No, Amal." Mama used her strictest voice. "Don't move." Amal stood completely still. Mama blew air out of her mouth. Abbas dropped to her knees, relieved. We were never, ever supposed to go past the sign. That was the devil's field. The pretty butterfly landed about 4 meters in front of Amal. "No!" Mama screamed. Abbas and I looked up. Amal made mischievous eyes at Mama and then ran toward the butterfly. The next part was like slow motion, like someone threw her up in the air. Smoke and fire were under her, and the smile flew away. The sound hit us, really hit us, and knocked us back. And when I looked to where she was gone, just gone. I couldn't hear anything. And then the screams came. It was Mama's voice, then Baba's, from somewhere far behind us. Then I realized that Amal wasn't gone. I could see something. I could see her arm. It was her arm, but her body wasn't attached to it anymore. I wiped my eyes. Amal was torn up like her doll after a watchdog ripped it apart. I opened my mouth. I screamed so loud I felt like I was going to split in two. Baba and Uncle Kamal ran up, panting to the sign. Mama didn't look at them. But when they got there, she began to whimper, "My baby, my baby." Then Baba saw Amal out there past the sign that said closed area. He lunged toward her, tears flooding down his face. But Uncle Kamal grabbed him hard with both hands. He held on. Baba tried to shake him off, but Uncle Kamal hung on, fighting. Baba turned on his brother, screaming, "I can't leave her!" "It's too late," Uncle Kamal's voice was strong. I told Baba, "I know where they buried the mines." He didn't look at me, but he said,
"Direct me in, Ahmad."
"You're gonna put your life in the hands of a child?" Uncle Kamal's face looked like he was biting into a lemon. "He's no ordinary 7-year-old," Baba said. I took a step towards the men, leaving Abbas and Mama. They were both crying. They planted them with their hands, and I made a map. "Go get it," Baba said, followed by something else. But I couldn't understand him because he turned away toward the devil's field and Amal. So I ran as fast as I could, grabbed the map from its hiding place under the veranda, swung around for Baba's walking stick, and ran back to my family. Mama always said she didn't want me to run when I was holding Baba's stick because I could get hurt, but this was an emergency. Baba took the stick and tapped the ground while I tried to get the wind back in me. "Go straight from the sign," I said. My tears blinded me, the salt stinging, but I wouldn't look away. Baba tapped the ground in front of him before every single step, and when he was about 3 meters out, he stopped. Amal's head was approximately a meter in front of him. Her curly hair was gone. White stuff stuck out in places where the skin was burned off. His arms weren't long enough to reach it, so he crouched and tried again. Mama gasped. I wished he'd used the stick, but I was afraid to say it to him, in case he didn't want to treat Amal that way. "Come back," Uncle Kamal pleaded. "It's too dangerous." "The children," Mama cried out. Baba almost fell over, but caught himself. "They're alone in the house." "I'll go stay with them." Uncle Kamal turned away, and I was glad because he was making things even worse. "Don't bring them here," Baba called to him. "They can't see Amal like this. And don't let Nadia come down here either." "Nadia!" Mama sounded like she had just heard the name of her eldest daughter for the first time. "Nadia is at your house. Come out with your children." Uncle Kamal nodded and continued on. Mama was on the ground next to Abbas. Tears streamed down her face. Like someone cursed and frozen in place, Abbas stared at what was left of Amal.
"Which way now, Ahmad?"
Baba asked. According to my map, there was a mine approximately 2 meters away from Amal's head. The sun was hot, but I felt cold. Please, God, let my map be accurate. What I knew for sure was that There was no pattern because I always looked for patterns and these were random, so no one could figure them out without a map. Walk a meter to the left, I said, and reach again. Without even knowing it, I had been holding my breath. When Baba lifted Amal's head, the air spilled out of me. He took off his kafia and wrapped it around her little head, which was pretty much destroyed. Baba reached for her arm, but it was too far away. It was hard to tell if her hand was still attached. According to my map, there was another landmine between him and her arm, and it was up to me to direct him around it. He did exactly what I told him because he trusted me. I got him close, and he gently grabbed her arm bone and wrapped it in his kafia. All that was left was her middle, and it was the furthest away. Don't step forward. There's a mine. Step to your left. Baba cuddled Amal close to his chest. Before he stepped, he tapped the ground. I guided him the whole way. It was at least 12 meters. Afterwards, I had to guide him back. From the sign, straight out, there aren't any mines, I said. But there's two in between you and that straight line. I guided him forward, then sideways. Sweat dripped down my face, and when I wiped it with my hand, there was blood. I knew it was Amal's blood. I wiped it again and again, but it wouldn't come off. The strands of Baba's black hair lifted off his face in a gust. His white kafia, no longer covering it, was soaked with blood. Red blossomed down his white robe. He held Amal in his arms, the way he did when she fell asleep on his lap, and he carried her upstairs. Baba looked like an angel from a story bringing Amal back from the field. His broad shoulders were heaving, his eyelashes wet. Mama was still on the ground crying. Abbas held her, but had no more tears. He was like a little man watching over her. Baba will put her back together, he assured Mama. He can fix anything. Baba will take care of her. I put my hand on Abbas's shoulder. Baba knelt next to Mama on the ground with his shoulders by his ears and rocked Amal gently. Mama leaned into him. Don't be scared, Baba told Amal. Allah will protect you. We remained like that, comforting Amal, for a long time. Curfew begins in 5 minutes, a soldier announced through his megaphone from his military jeep. Anyone found outside will be arrested or shot. Baba said it was too late to get a permit to bury Amal, so we brought her back home.